In our remaining minutes together, we want to turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23, way back in November, we began a series called Great Deliverances, and we had to suspend that during the holidays, and we want to resume that on Wednesday nights when we're together. And I want to read just a few verses from chapter 23 as we consider the theme of Great Deliverances. Let's look at verse 14 of chapter 23. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it is a very present help to us as we journey through life. We thank you, Father, for the encouragements that you give through the Scriptures. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage our hearts tonight as we consider this passage of Scripture, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, it's interesting to me because if you read on in this passage, you're going to find that once again, David is sold out by an informant who goes to Saul and tells him where David is located. This whole chapter, there's three times that the location of David is given away to Saul, and Saul comes looking for him, and it's going to happen again. But before this next turning out of David and his location, God encourages his heart by sending Jonathan to him. I think it's important for us to keep that in mind because, you know, many times in life we don't know. David had no idea at this point that he was going to be sold out again and that his location was going to be given up to Saul, and that Saul was going to come, and this time it looks like it's going to be the very end. And yet God once again delivers David by bringing the Philistines up to attack from behind. And so Saul had to leave chasing after David to go deal with the Philistines. Now, God encouraged his servant David on both ends of this particular event. The front end, by sending Saul's son, Jonathan, the oldest boy, to David, who was a friend of David, to encourage him. I wonder how many times we are an encouragement, and I wonder how many times we're not and an encouragement to each other. We need to understand and know that none of us know what tomorrow is going to bring. We deal with situations that arise on a daily basis. We have no idea what is in ahead of us in 2015. We would like to think that it's going to be nice and smooth, but we found out in 2014 that that's not always the case. And if you go back in time to 2013 and 2012 and 2011, again, that lesson comes to us that it's not always smooth sailing. There are difficult things that arise, and we need the encouragement of God's people. I want you to see very quickly four things that Jonathan shares with David to encourage, to strengthen his hand. And you and I need to take these things to heart because we have a responsibility to strengthen each other's hand. We don't know what a brother or sister in Christ is going to face in the days ahead, but if we're a blessing to them right now, it may be that God is preparing them for this event that's coming, and you are a source of help and encouragement to face it. That means that you and I have to walk closely with the Lord, amen? You and I have a responsibility to get into the Word of God. You can't take days off from God's Word. You can't skip your time with the Word of God and be a blessing to other believers in Christ. God sent Jonathan along just at the right time to encourage David, who was in hiding from Saul, not knowing that someone was going to give up the location there in the wood where David was at. Saul's going to come up and surround him, and it looks very bleak for David. And all of a sudden, there comes a reporter up to Saul and says, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Philistines are behind us. What? The Philistines are behind us. They're going to attack. We got to go. And so they left off from following David, and God delivered his servant. But it was the encouragement of Jonathan that I believe prepared David for the deliverance that would come later. Let's look at these four things very quickly tonight. First of all, Jonathan says to David in verse 17, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee." You know what God had done? God had put Jonathan, who, by the way, by right, should have been the next king, divine right of kings. He should have been the next king, but he'd already told David, "I know that God has chosen you, and I will be there with you every step of the way. You are God's chosen. I don't have a problem." Isn't that wonderful? When people understand their role. I was talking with Brother Erickson just a few moments ago. We're talking about the roles that God gives to us and that we need to be satisfied with what God has given us to do. And people that are dissatisfied with what God has called them to do are people that will always have trouble in life. They'll always be searching for something else because they're not satisfied with what God has called them to do. And Jonathan realized, "I will not be the next king of Israel." I know all of his friends probably said to him, "Jonathan, don't you know? You're going to be the next king. You're the son of Saul. Divine right of kings. You should be the next king. You should fight for that." But Jonathan knew that David had been anointed to be the next king. And so he told him, "I am going to be at your side. I will let you know what my father is planning. I am going to be an encouragement to you. Fear not." That took courage. By the way, Saul has already once threatened to kill his own son, Jonathan. You remember what happened? Whenever they went up against the Amalekites and they were tired of fighting all day long, and Saul made the decree, "No one is to eat. No one is to take anything to eat until sundown." These people were starving. They were hungry. They had been fighting the battle. It was a very foolish thing to say. Jonathan didn't get the word. And he ate of the honeycomb and strengthened himself. And word got back to Saul, and Saul said he must die. And the people rose up and said, "Listen, Jonathan just gave us a great victory. You're not going to kill the one who led us in victory today." And so Jonathan's life was delivered. But don't ever forget, Saul was ready to kill him, ready to get rid of him. It took courage. And so he was an encouragement to David. Secondly, I want you to see, "Thou shalt be king over Israel." Now, you know, young people have a tendency to go to their friends to get advice. And I want you to know, after nearly almost 30 years of ministry, that rarely do young people give the right advice to their friends. All right? I've seen it too many times. All right? We have a responsibility to go to those that have been down the road of life. I'm thankful that we have older men and women in our church to teach the younger men and women concerning right choices. Many times we will run to those that we know will tell us what we want to hear. We like to hear that. We like to be told that the way we're wanting to go and the way we're thinking is the right way to do it. But you know what? We have a responsibility to go to those that are spiritual leaders, those that are doing right, and ask them for advice. And here Jonathan, who is about 30 years older than David, most are 20 to 30 years of age, older than David, goes to him and tells him, "You're going to be the next king." He could see the divine stamp of God upon David, and he encouraged him in that role that God had called him to do. We need to encourage each other in the roles that God has given to us. Amen? We all have different roles. God has placed us in it. Some are teachers. Some are helpers. Some are musicians, some are not. There are others that have a different role to play. Maybe it's a role of support, just lending a hand and assisting in that role. Maybe it's a prayer warrior. Dr. Hobbs, our founding pastor, used to tell about a lady that lived in a nursing home in Chester, South Carolina, and she undertook to pray for him as he was a student at Bob Jones University. They would go there and have services there at the nursing home, and she would have prayer for him, and it was such an encouragement to know that back in that nursing home was a lady. She couldn't leave. She was an invalid, and yet every day she was praying for him that he would do well in his studies and that he would do what God wanted him to do. And he said it was such a blessing to know that I had a prayer warrior back at the nursing home remembering me in prayer. Folks, this is the culmination of God's Word. What did God say, David? I've anointed you to be the next king. Jonathan had enough spiritual understanding to recognize that this was the culmination of God's planning, and he was behind it. You'll never go wrong if you're behind God's plan. You'll never go wrong. If you follow your plan, look out. I think all of us could raise a hand and say, you know, Pastor Brainerd, I know what it's like to go our own way, do our own thing, instead of what God wants us to do. And I want to tell you, the consequences come in like a load of rocks. They come in and there's nothing you can do to control it. Number three, I will stand next to you. That's what he says. I shall be next unto thee. Isn't it wonderful to have somebody to stand with you? You know, there have been many men throughout history that have had to stand alone. But really, they're not alone when you're with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you and God make a majority in any community. If you're all alone standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've got the whole armies of God with you. You're not alone. But Jonathan pulls up side of David and said, I'm going to stand with you. That meant a lot coming from the son of the man that was trying to destroy him. That meant a lot. And so he was an encouragement. His offering of companionship. What a blessing it is to have Christian friends. To have Christian friends who will pray for you, who will not say one thing in front of your face and then walk off and tear you down behind their back. Oh, how today, you know, social media is destroying what's left of true friendships. And it's amazing the things that people will say when they get behind their computer screen. I try to avoid a lot of that. I don't do blogging. I don't do a lot of Facebooking. I'll look on my wife's every once in a while just to communicate with a missionary or talk to someone that we know, family member. But, you know, I just wonder what gets sacrificed when we hide behind our technology and we'll say nasty things about somebody to somebody else. Oh, they'll never see it. Guess what? Guess what? They thought the Sony Pictures people didn't think anybody was going to see all their emails, did they? You hear all the nasty things they were saying about all the directors and actors and actresses and all that kind of stuff. All of that was out there for everybody to read, all the nasty comments that they thought would never, ever be seen. Let me tell you something, young people. If it's on the electronics and it's on the internet, it will be seen. And I want to tell you something else, adults. Don't think you'll escape it either. It will be seen. Listen, you need to be a blessing to somebody in real life. Amen? You need to be a companion and a friend, not a Facebook friend, but a real friend to God's people. Offer your companionship to be an encouragement. And then finally, number four, I have not hid my love for you from my Father. That's what he says here. I have not hid my love for you, David, from my Father. Notice this. I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. He wasn't a pretend friend. Yeah, I'm your friend, but I'm not telling anybody else I'm your friend. Fair weather friends. We've all had them, have we not? I'll stick with you through thick and thin. Oh, we've had people that have stood and in place of test. I just love this church. And then they lit out of here cussing us. Okay? I'm sure that that's been the experience of, you know, oh, I just love this place. I love what's going on here. And then they're tearing you down behind your back. Isn't that sad? Let me tell you something. Don't be a liar. Be truthful. Be truthful. If you have a problem, then stand up and say, I've got a problem. Don't sit there and sugarcoat everybody and make everybody think like you're just in love with you and you're not. Tell the truth. God honors that. Here was a final word here of encouragement. Commitment. I am so committed to you, David, that I told my father. Now, this is the one that's trying to kill David. He's risking his life for his friend. That's the kind of friendship we ought to have. He was willing to risk his life by telling his own father, I love David, and I'm going to do everything I can to support and protect him, Father. He wasn't hiding the fact that he was a true and loyal friend of David. What an encouragement. What's David going to be facing? He doesn't know, but in the verses that follow here, we find out. Saul finds out where he's at. His whereabouts is given up, and so he secretly plans without telling him how they were going to come up against him, and they come up against David to destroy him, and God steps in with a great deliverance. Isn't it wonderful? The word came back, the Philistines are attacking. We have to leave. And God delivered his servant. I want us to encourage ourselves tonight with what God has to say in his word. Jonathan was a real, genuine friend. A friend with integrity. What is integrity? It's being what you say you are. That's what integrity is. He was what he said he was, a friend of David. May God increase their tribe. Because I want to tell you something, in these days, as we lead up to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the friends of Christians will be far and few. And so we need to encourage each other in the work, and then watch God. Isn't the rapture going to be the greatest of all deliverances? It is going to be the greatest of all deliverances. And I don't care what people call it. Oh, you believe in a helicopter pullout. I don't care what you call it. I believe in what God says. And one of these days, the trump's going to sound. And we're going to be delivered from this earth. And we're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. For a Christian that loves God, that's one of the most wonderful, most blessed hopes that we possess. And so I want to encourage you tonight to be the right kind of friend. You don't know what you're going to face and what they're going to face. And you could be a help and a blessing to them before whatever event comes in their life. You can be a help and a blessing to them. And I think that that's what we all desire to be as God's people. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together tonight to come into your presence and bring to you the requests that are upon our hearts. And we do ask, dear Father, that you would undertake for each one and that your will would be accomplished. I pray that you would encourage our hearts. Lord, we don't know what lies before us. We don't know what news we're going to receive soon. But we don't know what event may take place that will change everything. But we pray, Father, that we would be a blessing and encouragement to each other. That we would come alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ and let them know that we support them, that we're praying for them, that we want to be an encouragement to them. And not be someone that smiles and puts on one face and then turns around and stabs them in the back with another. Lord, deliver us from that hypocrisy. Help us, Father, to be the right kind of people, that we might have Christian grace toward one another and that we might encourage each other, because we never know, that encouragement may make the difference in another believer's life in things that they face going forward. I pray, Father, that you would bless your word. May the Holy Spirit of God work in our hearts. And I pray that you would watch over us, be with all the preparations for the wedding on Saturday. We would ask, dear Father, that you would bless with good weather, that you would allow all of the events to bring honor and glory to your precious name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.